I love that riff.
Oh, man.
What can I say? That riff is amazing. Thank you again for calling Guitar Man Kramer from Celestial Drift for putting that together for us. It's another Monday, and this time, hey, I'll actually be able to watch a little bit of Raw and talk to you about that. Very special couple of guests coming on, and one of them is so near and dear to our hearts, and you know, somebody who's been on with us before. We love having her on. Why don't you go ahead and tell us what's on the docket for tonight here while I'm getting everything set.
Well, tonight we actually have a special show. We have returning fan
favorite.
Very
special.
We have Mariah Prussia, the probably the coolest MMA fighter in the history of Fargo, North Dakota, will be joining us. And,
the illustrious history, by the way.
Yes. And we have Double D, Destiny Dangeron, with us. She is a wrestler, she is a manager, and she's got the longest legs I have ever seen in my entire life. And she's going to be joining us.
What's her height?
And also, yes, and also before we get too far into this, I also want to thank our sponsors. First off, we have 61outfitters.com, Roger Maris Jr., for the best in hunting hats, fishing hats, sports, baseball caps. 61outfitters.com, and also 13th Avenue South, 701-277-1989, the basement of the West Acres Mall, for all your gaming cards, sports cards, NFL, Major League Baseball, basketball, sports memorabilia, Carson Wentz, Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, anything that you could want in sports cards under one roof. Big Nick Sports Cards, 3902 13th Avenue South, and don't forget to tell them the Icon sent you. See Galen for all your sports cards needs. And thank you to them.
And you know, I got a question, though. Are they the ones, did they make your Icon shirt?
No.
Where did you get that made at? Okay, where did you get that made at?
The Icon shirt was actually made by another store in Fargo, which would be Shields is the one that made that. They did a hot press for me.
Okay. Nice.
They, as a matter of fact, their major spokesman is, of course, Carson Wentz.
Oh wow!
Who, unfortunately, had a bad game last night, but I guess he must have felt sorry for the Dallas Cowboys, so he put football, you know.
Everybody, he shouldn't worry much. Everybody has a bad game against that Seattle defense in Seattle. It's nothing I think he needs to take too personally. I mean, he's still a hell of a quarterback. My main thing here, my main question is, do you have more than one of those shirts, or do you just do an ass load of laundry?
Well, what I do is I have one black one that you've seen many times. I have one button-down shirt with the Icon on the back. I have, of course, the Icon jacket. And I have another one that's made. I haven't picked up yet, but it says Icon on the back and Universe across the top, kind of like a jersey-type deal.
Yeah, Icon Universe. Okay, I like that. I'm feeling that. So, you know, I can't help but be excited. And, you know, again, tonight's a special night. I'm calling in for the first couple of minutes here until I get in front of my microphone at home because, like I said, I was down at the station and then didn't need to stay tonight. We had bad weather here, just like you're having. And the interns were all like, oh, I can't make it in tonight. I'm like, listen, it's Monday Night Football. You have to get in tonight. I'm not even supposed to be working. So they just showed up. They're doing their thing so I can go home. So you might have to deal with my Bluetooth for the first however many minutes, but bear with me. Also, if you are a caller, and you know, you think we're ignoring you, we're not. I just am not in front of a computer to buzz you in. So once I get home, give me about 5-6 minutes. I'll get you going, buzz you in, we'll get this thing crack-a-lackin'. So but let me ask you this, Icon. You talk to Mariah Prussia a lot more than I talk to Mariah, because she's from Fargo, she's right there in that general vicinity of you. She says she has a very special announcement tonight. Do you have any idea what she's gonna hit us with?
I do and I don't.
Okay. Is it big news?
I think it is. And
okay.
Is it
she's gonna fight Ronda Rousey big?
No, not quite that big.
Oh,
but
not quite that big.
Would,
okay.
I'll tell you what, I would love to be in her corner if that ever happens. You know.
Of course. I mean, I think we both would, and I would love to possibly find a way for me to call the play-by-play on that as well, and you know, and see how that goes. But yeah, I always love having her on, and she's always a great guest, always very informative, so nice to talk to and things like that. So, you know, when I finally met her in person at the Maui Madness last year, you know, she's actually she's even more intimidating in person than she sounds on the phone. So, again, would love to talk to her. I'd love to get to know her. Destiny Danger, I'm going to look her up. You said she has the longest legs ever. Do you have any idea on her height, how tall she is?
I don't. But I will say this, sir. One okay. announcement I hope Mariah Precious' announcement is not, is that she's calling in to say that she wants to kick the Icon's ass for calling her too many times. That's what I hope the announcement is not.
Yes, I also hope, and again, I could be wrong here because this very well could be what it is. You just never know. But I also hope it's not a retirement announcement either that she's breaking live with us.
Oh, no, I don't think so. I think she's been...
That would be devastating.
Yeah, it would. But I know that if that announcement ever came, I know that she would most likely, you know, hopefully she'd be willing to announce it on our show before anybody else's, you know.
Of course, yeah. That's what I'm crossing my fingers, hoping that it's not as well. But, you know, hey, you never know. So, while I'm driving home here, and don't worry for all of you out there who may be cops who are listening to the show, you are on a Bluetooth. I'm not holding onto a cell phone. I know New York State law. Are there, have I missed anything good on Raw? Have I had my baby Bliss yet come out?
Well, see, here's the thing. I myself have, just got home myself. The NDSU Bison men's basketball team had a game against Missouri State, the Bears, tonight. So I was at that for most of the night. But I was trying to keep tabs of both the game that I was at and watching Monday Night Raw on my tablet. As a matter of fact, I was the only one in the stands that's able to do that, you know. So I I haven't watched much Raw, but I've been getting updates on my cell phone, you know, apparently not much has happened yet that's announcement worthy that I've seen.
I'm going to be home soon. Okay.
Yeah, Paige, I guess Paige did get a victory tonight, and I guess they're really starting to push her really hard, so apparently she hasn't lost any traction from what she was doing before.
Well, no, if anything, she gained some traction, and if you know what I mean. But, no, she's very good. She comes from a long wrestling family. I mean, her mother was a wrestler, her aunt, her grandmother. I mean, she's from a almost, I don't, I, you know, this is almost blasphemy for me to say this, but almost like the Hart family. You know how the Hart family has generations upon generations of wrestlers? It's the same thing with her. Her family has been huge in the wrestling business overseas, over in England. So she's talented. It's in her blood. She knows what she's doing. She's kind of soiled her career a little bit by making some less than favorable choices. And no, again, I have nothing wrong with the sex tape. I have nothing wrong with what she did. I just have something wrong with when she did it. That was, you know, when she was at the height of her career. She had the Divas Championship. You know, she was in the mix of the Women's Revolution. And, you know, she allows those tapes to be released and really didn't care. I mean, she owned up to it. She wasn't, you know, it was one of those things like, yeah, I did it. Do something about it kind of a thing. And didn't really look good. Smeared her image a little bit. Wasn't the only thing that was smeared, but smeared her image a little bit. And I like what she brings to the table, because Paige has that look to her that is so much different than Alexa Bliss in the way that, put it this way, a guy, like let's say you get Paige, you know, let's say you're out of the bar, okay, and you got Alexa Bliss and you've got Paige, okay? The normal dude, the normal kind of, you know, dude with some self-confidence problems, maybe a little overweight, isn't shaving, kind of doesn't really do so hot with the ladies, but, you know, whatever. He's going to approach Paige before he approaches Alexa Bliss. You know what I'm saying? Alexa Bliss may be, because of how she looks, may be intimidating to some guys who aren't, you know, alpha, supreme, macho guys. And I think Paige relates to the male crowd as well in that regard of, oh, wow, you know, I really like Paige because she's hot, but she's not too hot, you know, at least in my opinion. Whereas Alexa Bliss is one of those girls that could be a model, and you're like, she would never even talk to me in real life, even though she probably would. She's a sweetheart in real life. But regardless, that for the sake of my example, that's what I mean. Same thing with the females, okay? Paige sort of represents the girl that, you know, is sort of the outcast a little bit and isn't necessarily as pretty as the other girls naturally, but when she wears makeup, she can be, and she's got the dark hair and that gothic look and that deep emotion feelings kind of a thing. Whereas Alexa Bliss is like the bratty cheerleader who bullies all those girls every day in school. So that's sort of what I see with Paige, and I think with the WWE wanting a kid to early teen target audience, I think Paige really captures both elements between male and female of being relatable and likable. So that's why I think they're pushing her. I think that they're just willing to, hey, forgive and forget. You know, the sex tape thing, sure, it happened. That was awful. But, you know, we're going to move on from it. And I think I would not be surprised to see Paige hold the title again pretty soon. Unfortunately, to do that, she'd have to take it off Alexa Bliss, but I would not be surprised if that does happen in the near future.
Well, you know, and the thing about it is, you know, there's a lot of divas right now that, you know, like the another one they're really pushing right now is, of course, Asuka. You know.
Well, Asuka, yeah.
Yeah, I believe she's still undefeated. Although she's not having a good match right now, but I have a feeling she's going to come out victorious on this, you know. And, you know, Paige started feuding with her right away. Well, of course, Paige has been feuding with everybody, but they pushed her to feud with her right away, and they're trying to make her the top right now. And they push a feud with her, with Paige and her right away. It makes you wonder who they really want to put on the top. Is this going to be another one that they're going to screw up like they did with Roman Reigns?
Well, I like a little diversity every once in a while. I like the fact that you have, you know, Asuka being right there in the mix of things. I like the fact that Paige is back and Paige is leading these NXT superstars, because you remember how big the Women's Revolution was when the NXT superstars came up the first time? I mean, it gave us Bayley, it gave us Sasha, it gave us Charlotte, you know, it gave us, who's that one on SmackDown there, Carmella, okay, it gave us a bunch of, you know, awesome talent. And now that talent's been on the main roster for quite some time. They're almost considered veterans at this point. So I'm not surprised that WWE is saying, hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Let's do it again. We have a huge farm system here. Let's go explore some of our young talent. And, you know, that's exactly what they're doing. I like the diversity of it. And I think it's a good idea to have Paige be the one who is sort of in charge of bringing them up. Because Paige, in case you remember, was really the first NXT to come up. She was the one who was the rookie nobody, came out of nowhere, and then beat AJ Lee on her first night.
So, okay. You know, I yes.
Here's an interesting thing. I know you're not in front of the TV right now, but
well, I'm gonna be in 2 seconds, but yeah.
The what's your name again? Asuka, Asaka, whatever name.
Asuka. Asuka. Yeah.
Yeah, she just got another victory. Okay, and now here's Paige and her two cronies have come out to, I guess, have a little conversation. I don't think they're there to congratulate her on her victory, you know.
Okay.
She's not backing down either.
But well, of course she's not backing down. She's Asuka. She's the Japanese warrior. I mean, it's death before dishonor. I mean, you read the storybooks.
Yeah, and I've seen the movie, too. So, yeah. Paige is about to speak. You know, it is. You know, the thing I've always said how much I like Paige in the past. And, you know, it really saddened me that, you know, she had to take the time off that she did. Because, you know, it's not because of the sex tapes that happened. They said that she failed the drug test, which I don't really buy. I think it's more so the relationship that she started with Alberto Del Rio that started it.
Yes, most likely. So I do have the TV on now.
Yeah, and what's interesting, though, about Paige is the fact that she actually got a tattoo of the name Alberto put on her body. And it looks like, compared from where it was, it looks like she may have had it removed. Or she may,
she
be,
may have.
Putting
she very
it
well
over
may have.
It. Yeah.
One of the two. Now, here's another question for you, and this is a very man question, okay? But which two of the NXT cronies that came up? Now, again, I don't remember their names. I see a blonde girl wearing gold here, and I see the one in the silver warrior outfit, but which ones?
I don't remember their names either. Because I never.
Yeah, no, but which ones do? Which ones do you think are hotter? The, I remember Liv Morgan or Liv whatever. I remember the one that's on SmackDown. The two that are on SmackDown that came up, or these two?
Right. These two.
You think these two? Okay.
Yeah, and
okay.
See here. You know, here's what's interesting. Two divas from NXT came up and went to SmackDown, and that Monday Night Raw copied it. Two more up. What?
Yes, but here's the thing, okay?
Paige, I just hope that they don't do this with her again. You remember when they formed their faction? Was it what was that one when she was with Charlotte and them? Can't exactly remember. It was a while ago now. But she was part of that group. Paige was the one who blew that group up. Bad, I think it was called. Team Bad.
Yeah.
And Paige was the one that blew that up and kind of turned her back on people that she, I don't want to say brought in, but brought up. And, WWE has been, unfortunately, sickeningly predictable lately. I'm just a bit nervous that they're going to do that again. They're going to have this stable, this faction. They're going to be a team. They're going to be winning and you know, fighting well. And then Paige is going to turn her back on them and blow this thing up again. That's my main concern.
How long have we been complaining about WWE creative?
Yes.
I mean, we have been complaining about WWE creative for many weeks, days, months.
Many, several.
Years. You know, we've been complaining about what they've been doing for a long, long time. Will they ever change what the hell they're doing? I hope so. Does it seem like they ever will as of right now? Probably not. I'd have to bilk on that a little bit. You know, it's, you know, it, like I say, it saddens me what they're doing. It really, really does. You know?
And again, if there is anybody on hold, if Destiny is with us or if Mariah is with us, I do apologize. I'm just getting everything set up. Like I said, I was down at the radio station, but with Monday Night Football and bad weather, I'm not there. I went home. So now I'm setting everything up from home. So if you are on hold, just bear with us. I will get you in, and we'll get this interview cracking. And we have the full 2 hours tonight instead of kicking me out early like they usually do. So so we'll be good. But yeah, I just have a weird feeling that it's going to happen again. But I also have a weird feeling, and correct me if I'm wrong here, and I think they had this before. I should know this, but my mind is just so scrambled right now from everything that I'm not 100%. But I'm pretty sure that there's enough women on each roster now between the welcoming committee and then now the new NXT superstars on SmackDown and Charlotte and Carmella and all them. And then on Raw, now these three new ones, Alicia Fox, Bayley, you know, Alexa Bliss, you name it, okay? To have women's tag team titles and divisions.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, the thing that worries me about WWE creative, and I've talked about this before many times, it may even sound like a broken record for some people, that if they're going to have a storyline, if they're going to push somebody, do it correctly. Don't do this crap that you're doing. I mean, don't tease us. Be the creative minds that you were hired to be. Don't be this dumbass, lame-ass wrestling creators that nobody is watching. It doesn't make any sense to me, you know, why they would do that. You know?
I mean, they do it, they're kind of, in a way, they're kind of a little handcuffed. You know what I mean? Because there's no way in hell with this, you know, and again, don't take offense to this, but with this liberal snowflake society that we live in, there's no way that they could ever go back to the Attitude Era. Okay? There's no way that they could ever go back to the Ruthless Aggression Era. Okay? And so what they have to build on this PG thing. They have to build on what they're doing now, even though it's not maybe as profitable, although they claim it is. It's not even as profitable as what it used to be. Because, I mean, what else are they going to do? I mean, if they had, when we've said several times, you know, bra and panties matches would be awesome. The mud wrestling matches and stuff that they had would be awesome. Being able to hit people with chairs in the head like they used to do would be awesome. But it's just not, it's not going to happen with the society that we live in and the way that social media is. So I understand why they're doing it. I just think that they could tell a story a little better. You know what I'm saying? Like I understand the talent and the rules and the way the action needs to be, but in terms of them telling a story, I feel like, and I might be the only one here because a lot of people have called me crazy for this, the Attitude Era, I felt like, told a story so much better. And a lot of people are like, you kidding me? The Attitude Era was just a, you know, just a bunch of shock value stuff. There was no nothing. And I'm like, well, that's incorrect because they had storylines and angles between the Ministry of Darkness and DX and, you know, the Kane and Tory love affair and, you know, Kane actually talking and, you know, and you know, they had the Stone Cold getting run over and the whole shebang, okay? They had a lot more storytelling, in my opinion, in the Attitude Era than they do now. It seems to me like a lot of these matches are randomized and make no sense as to why they're even being fought.
Well, you know, I hate to use this term, but, you know, it's kind of an old 80s / 90s term. It's lame ass. Let's just say that's what it is. Because you're right. The storytelling now is like that same bedtime story you heard over and over and over as a kid. It's nothing new. It's the same thing. Goldilocks eats the porridge. It's the same damn thing.
But not only is it the same thing, you know, in repetition, but it's like a bedtime story because it's corny. It's to me, it feels like it's catered and geared towards kids, and it's not captivating to audiences like you and I. I think that they need to have a good balance in there. Sure, tailor some things towards kids, but tailor some things towards the older guys watching it too.
Exactly, and I don't think they're going to do that.
No reason to do that. I mean, think of it this way. What's their moneymaker? Who's buying the T-shirts? You know, who's buying the merchandise? It's the kids. Kids are wearing, you know, Roman Reigns T-shirts and, you know, the Shield stuff, and they're going to Spencer's and buying this stuff. You and I aren't wearing it. We just want to see good programming on Monday nights. But we're not going out and buying their stuff. We're not going to the live events unless it's in our town. You know, you got kids traveling 4, 5, 6 hours to go to a WWE show. We're not going to do that. So, I understand they want to hit their target audience in terms of profits, that it's all about a wallet for them. But, damn, at least give us something.
Yeah, give us what we want. And unfortunately, the way that they're going, we're never going to get what we want. We are not going to get
And that's,
it.
I mean, and that's not overly surprising to me. It's really not. It's one of those things where I think we're just going to have to live and let live, if that makes any sense. Kind of, you ever had, I don't know if your parents used to say this back in the day, but you've ever had, you know, the term learn to like it? I think that's sort of what they're... I think that's sort of what they're hitting us with. They're hitting us with a learn to like it, where we're not changing. This is what we do. This is our product now. Learn to like it or watch something else. Now, we used to have back in the day something else to watch. Okay, we could go on WCW. We could go on, depending on what TV networks you had or where you were located, TNA. Not TNA, excuse me, NWA. Then we had TNA and Impact. We didn't have to watch it. Okay. The fact now that they've cornered the market and said you have to watch WWE because we're the only, I mean, besides Lucha Libre, which you have to buy an extra cable package for, we're the only, you know, wrestling, mainstream major wrestling network on commercial airwaves. So you have to learn to like it. Not sitting well with me. I want a balance. You know, I want, yeah, okay, hit your target market, that's fine. But give us a little something, at least. Just a little bit. Anyways, we have on the line with us, it's the same area code as you, so I'm guessing it's our friend here. So I don't know if you want to... do an introduction, if you have one planned. I mean, she's been on the show enough now. Does she still get an introduction? Or
yep, of course.
You want to do it?
Yeah, I sure.
All right.
Sure.
Well, let's see if you still have one in the tank. Here we go. We'll put it through. Do your thing.
All right. Before I do the introduction, though, I do want to thank the sponsor of our next guest, MPX Fitness Training. 3955 40th Avenue South, Fargo, North Dakota, 701-293-0002. If you want boot camp, kickboxing, cardio core combo, power yoga, mixed martial arts classes, personal training, nutrition, women's self-defense, MPX fitness training, all under one roof, 3955 40th Avenue South, Fargo, North Dakota, 701-293-0002, www.mpxfitness.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you our first combatant of the night. She is the one that can kick everybody's ass without even thinking about it. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you a fan favorite, a Attitude Era Live favorite. Without further ado, she is Mariah Russia.
Holy smokes, I have never had an introduction like that before. That tops the cake.
Yeah. And
so that beats
his
say that again.
Sponsoring your, yeah, go ahead.
No, I said keep going. I couldn't hear you. You were breaking up, so I thought you you had stopped talking. But no, I was gonna say that one tops my his first two.
Man, that was awesome. I mean, he was just rattling it off like it was just coming out the tongue. Like there's no tomorrow. Smooth. It was great.
And the thing, I didn't even write that down.
Right? It's all impromptu. It just gets to a point where you just, you got it, Icon. You just got it.
Yeah. And if
don't tempt him too much now, because now he's going to be, now he's going to be talking about this for the next couple of weeks. But, right, now you, we had a chance to meet at the Maui Madness, finally. And then, you know, you've known Icon forever. You live, you know, in the same geographic area as him, so you get to see him whenever whenever he wants or whenever you want. But I was told, and if you don't want to get to this right away, I understand, but if you want to hit us with it early, that's cool too. I was told you have a big announcement to give us.
I have an announcement coming up. We're finalizing a few things, but yeah, I'm excited. It's time.
Okay.
I'm long past due, and the thing is too, what's coming off of the opportunity, I was supposed to fight in September, and my opponent backed out 3 days before the fight. So I'm chomping at the bit to get back into action.
Well, you know, why your opponent backed out is because the loser of that match had to go on a date with me. So I think that's why she backed out.
That's classic.
And you know, I don't blame her for backing out. I wasn't sure what your announcement was going to be, because I asked Icon. I said, listen, you know, has she given you little spoilers here? I tried to get him to sort of break the news here early on in the show, and I said, is this like she's fighting Ronda Rousey big, or is this she's retiring big? And
close to retiring.
Well, he said it was big, but it wasn't as big as either of those.
So
we will just say that the gloves,
the
gloves that I'll be wearing are bigger than the ones that I wear in the cage.
Really?
So you're boxing.
Might be breaking into the boxing caliber in regards to my pro boxing debut. So I'm really excited at that. I'm not leaving MMA. I love MMA, but the thing is too, I also love throwing punches. So they kind of do
you're
merge
pulling
together.
Conor McGregor on it. Okay.
You know.
Okay.
I don't have all the years of experience of Conor McGregor. Let's just be honest here, but I've always loved boxing, and I started off initially watching boxing when I was growing up, and then before I had my youngest one, is when I started having one-on-one sessions for boxing until I found out I was pregnant, and then I stopped. So. You know, it always has been an underlying passion. So now with the opportunity arising soon, like I said, with the details, I've been talking back and forth with Virgil Hill. So I'm really excited. It's when you're talking to a legend and then having the opportunity to show a different type of skill, yet the same, if that makes sense, I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
let me ask you, from a professional fighter standpoint, from a professional fighter standpoint, because I've asked a lot of people around here this. I've asked them, and none of them are fighters. They just watch a lot of sports, and they watch MMA, and they watch boxing. But from somebody who's in that world, I'm assuming you watched the McGregor-Mayweather fight. Am I correct?
I was at the Conor McGregor-Mayweather fight.
Okay, cool. So that's even better. Do you feel like that, you know, because I think the general consensus was that it was going to go 12 rounds and Mayweather was going to win by decision like he always does. Now, do you feel that they should have stopped that fight when they stopped it, that the ref got in and stopped it after 10 and called it, or do you feel like that was a little bit of a snub on McGregor?
I think they stopped it early. I think that they were trying to protect him. They wanted to create a big money-making event, which they did. They were, you know, they're both very smart businessmen, McGregor and Mayweather, and, you know, other individuals in the past have been trying to have those two merge, right, in regards to MMA, boxing, a standout against a standout, and it hasn't happened in years past. So now that they made that happen, clearly they understand it, the marketing behind it. However, again, they built the scene. They sold the tickets. They sold the pay-per-view, so on and so forth. They made multiple, you know, millions of dollars for that. So they did it right from that perspective. However, I feel like they stopped it early.
Yeah, me too. I think that as well. A lot of people were saying that, you know, McGregor's hands were down and he was, you know, defenseless at that point, and that it was just, it was going to be a knockout within the next couple of seconds. But I really feel like the way he's able to take beatings in the cage and come back from it, I think he would have lasted the 12. Now, would he have won at that point once he dropped his hands and once he had taken a couple shots from Mayweather? No, probably not, especially since he almost got DQ'd for the rabbit punches early on. But I thought it was going to go 12 rounds, be a Mayweather decision, and everybody was going to be pissed off like they always are because he never knocks anybody out. He wins by decision. When a lot of people thought that he lost to Pacquiao and he won by decision. So that's what I thought it was going to be. And then when the ref jumped in the way and stopped it after 9.5, I was a little disappointed. I was like, you know, we spent $100 on a pay-per-view for this, you know, kind of a thing. But I just wanted to get an opinion from somebody in the business, you know?
Well, yeah, you know, and there's always going to be critics, right? So you'll have individuals who've been in the game that are going to critique, and then you're going to have people that are spectators that have never been in there, but yet they feel they're more knowledgeable. Some may be because of how many things they've watched, whether they've watched training, so on and so forth. But, you know, there's just so many different ways that it could flip in regards to a combative sport. However, yeah, I think he could have gone longer, and I think the ref was protecting him, really, at the end of the day, is what it looked like to me.
Right. Now, I had a question for you. Now, you mentioned that you've had conversations with Virgil Hill, and for people who don't know, Virgil Hill, his nickname is Quicksilver from the great state of North Dakota. He's had 58 total fights, 51-7 with 24 knockouts. Now, are you currently training with him, or has he been giving you some pointers, or how did the meeting between you two commence?
I haven't been training with Virgil. We've been touching base off and on for the last however many months. And at one point they were going to have a pro show here at the end of this year, but it didn't pan out. So that would have been my pro boxing debut in Fargo. So now we've been talking back and forth in regards to different dates. Virgil actually lives in California, and his wife Janine is a former French. I don't know if you guys knew that as well, but she ran back in the days with Flojo. So great couple, clearly very knowledgeable. Would I love to have the opportunity to train with Virgil? Of course, who wouldn't? I mean, it's like trying to pass, who would pass up somebody of that caliber to train with? So,
I've had a chance to meet Virgil on a few occasions. I also saw one of his fights when he fought in Bismarck. I can't remember who he was fighting, but he was fighting a boxer from Canada, and that's when he was a champion, and that was back in, I want to say 85 or 86 or 87, somewhere around there. I can't remember the exact dates, but so if with the boxing thing that you're getting into, you know, you mentioned the date it was supposed to be. Do you have any possible other dates that you might be able to throw at us that might be coming up?
Early 2018. So once we have the date and everything finalized and the marketing is out there, then I'll be able to release the exact date. But I want to make sure that everything is clear and ready to go before the date's released. The last thing you want to do is plug a date, and then you get people excited, and then the date switches. So
now, are you going to be doing that close to Fargo here? Are you going to be doing it, or you don't know that yet either?
I will be. So, I will be on the card for that show when it's finalized. So again, that'll be my pro boxing debut. So what most people don't realize is when you fight any type of combative sport. So since I'm pro for MMA, I have to box pro. I can't do an AMI boxing match because of the fact that my status is already professional.
Okay. So now here's the deal. Here's my question, though. How are they going to know that if you're doing an MMA style compared to a regular boxing style? How are they going to – or do they have, like, judges that will say that she's using an MMA boxing style compared to a regular? Do they – would they –
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your style is in regards to, like, your footwork as long as your punches are legal. So you have a lot of people right now, especially in the Fargo-Moorhead area, that do both, you know, and then outside of clearly the Fargo-Moorhead area. But it merges really well. So if you've got MMA fighters that, you know, like to throw their hands more, right, they've got more of the boxing style, there's no reason why they shouldn't be doing both, if, you know, especially when they're young. Now, when you're going back to the Conor McGregor and Mayweather fight, McGregor really didn't have a chance. Let's just be honest, because Mayweather is so good. Look at the years of experience that he had, the different style of footwork, his hands, his defense, and he just knows how to pick people apart. So it's just like, it's like a cat and mouse game where he's just playing until he picks up on his tendencies, and then he, you know, would basically pick away at those weaknesses and step right into his
What I noticed there was what you were talking about, and that was that, you know, he kind of toyed with him for the first couple of rounds. If you, I mean, you know this well, being in MMA, that, you know, the UFC goes, what, max 5 rounds, but oftentimes they're only one, and sometimes they go 3. But they don't ever go much farther than that. I don't think he was fully prepared, even though he claims he was. I don't think he was fully prepared for 12 rounds, you know, and that
it's
is
different.
A long, long time. Yeah, and I think for the first couple rounds, I mean, McGregor won the first couple rounds, and I think they expected him to win the first couple rounds. He was going to come out guns blazing and do his thing, and then after that, you know, Mayweather said, okay, now he's getting gas. Now I'm going to turn on the gas, and yeah, so I think he just totally read him like a book, and that's, I think, another reason why he won that. Now, when you're training for boxing, are you – I know you're a competitor, and you've been fighting all aspects of fighting for so long that this is probably a silly question to you. But is there a little bit of butterflies? Is there some jitteriness going into your debut? Are you thinking to yourself?
Not at all.
You know, no, you're confident about it?
I am, because here's the thing: is my last fight that I was training for in September, I did a 9-week training camp. So, which is longer, okay. Usually it's a 6-week training camp. So the thing is, from cardiovascular wise, I do so many different things, but I've been doing so much boxing lately. Clearly, yes, I'm doing other mixed martial arts on top of it, but the guys that I'm sparring with clearly have more experience than me, but you know, you can see and you can feel your improvements when you're sparring, right? So again, it's setting different goals for each round. Do I want to work on flipping and countering? Do I want to work on shots to the body? Do I want to work on my fakes and fades? So then you start adding all of those different things into the mix. And again, it's like when you're going against guys who have multiple, you know, bouts, matches, so on and so forth, fights, it you know, it kind of takes those ease off. And the thing is, it's only one factor, right? The only thing that you can do is throw punches. Now, that can be a benefit, but it can also be a downfall, right? So the thing is, when in MMA, if your boxing isn't working, then you can go to your kicks. You can go to your takedowns. You can go to the ground for grappling, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, so on and so forth, right? So you always have an opportunity to transition to something else if something doesn't work. However, when you're looking at boxing, the only tool you can use is straight boxing, is throwing punches. So you don't you can't take somebody down if you're getting pummeled, right, with punches and bunches. So again, that's what makes, you know, head movement, footwork, technique, all those things so important, because you can't fall back on a different tool. It's only one tool in the toolbox that you're able to utilize in the ring.
So with the sparring that you're doing, that you're talking about, now, is there do you guys, like, go in and say, okay, we're going to spar for 5 minutes and work on this, and then switch it up and do that? How do you set up your sparring when you're practicing and doing that?
All of our rounds are 3 minutes long. So MMA is 5 minutes, and then it'll be three. But for my pro debut, it actually will be 4 2-minute rounds. So the thing is, when you're sparring, right, for 3-minute rounds, you have to make sure they're intense. Sometimes you have days where your sparring is a little lighter. It just is what it is. So it depends on your sleep cycle. It depends on, you know, how chaotic your day was, what time of day that you're sparring. So you don't tell the individual you're sparring against what you're working on, because why would you want them to know, right? So they try to defend it right away. You want them to be able to pick up on it, and vice versa. I don't want to know what, like, Nick is throwing at me. I want to make sure that I'm able to read it and adapt to that change. So, you know, you have your own personal goal. You just don't say it out loud. You just work on it. And then if you improved on it, if there's different things, again, you keep pushing through and trying to, you know what I mean, try to get as good as you possibly can at each thing so that it becomes common nature, right? Muscle memory, where you don't think you're reacting, and it becomes such a flowing pattern that your opponent doesn't really know what's coming next.
Now, the other thing is, now do you ask people to spar with you, or do they ask you? Because, you know, I know I'm not, you know, I'm nowhere close to being a fighter and everything, but if I found out that I would have to spar you and I didn't know anything about you, I probably would not want to do that. But do your sparring partners know your style? Do they know, you know, what you've done in the past, or is it kind of like a surprise to them when they step in the ring with you?
I think I ask people to spar with me, and then people ask me to spar with them. So, you know, at the end of the day, in Fargo Moorhead, we have so many different individuals that we can spar with. However, when it comes to sparring, there's some people I won't spar against because it just doesn't make sense, right? So we had one guy that came into my gym that was 245 pounds, still green, you know, still new, so which meant that his hands were like freaking bricks, and he didn't know how to hold back his power. So you want to make sure that when you're sparring with somebody who understands that you're not throwing 100%. You know, yes, you're throwing hard during sparring, but your goal isn't to hurt your training partners, because eventually you wouldn't have any. So, again, that's the key thing, is making sure that it's an appropriate matchup for you when you're sparring, because size, when it comes to sparring, does matter. So, again, I went against one guy that was probably 250 at one point, and it just didn't make sense. I did it, and then I was like, all right, I'm so glad that 3-minute round is done. You know, it's more like cat and mouse. Literally, I was like the one that was running away at that point. But I've got great sparring partners. I also go into barbell boxing, and he's got a couple girls that fight amateur, and I've been working with them in regards to sparring back and forth. So again, it's like, all right, so when you're going against somebody who's more green than you are, you want to train with three different types of individuals: somebody who's below your experience level, somebody who matches up with you, and then somebody who is way above you that humbles you, right? So when you're going against somebody who's got lesser experience, that gives you the opportunity to work on new stuff. When you're going with somebody who's the same as you, then you've got those days where, yes, I totally kicked butt, you know, I did well, and then you have those days where, like, ah, they got me kind of deal. And then you have the humbling where, okay, I need to make sure I'm trying to, you know, enhance my skills here. Okay, I thought I was really good against this person. All right, it's the humbling before the storm. So then it makes you work that much harder so that you're not getting drilled 50 times. You know, maybe this time it's 40. Make sense? So it's having that diverse experience level to work with.
So I guess opportunity for the Icon to spar with Mariah Precious is probably not going to happen anytime soon.
You know, probably not, Icon. You know, we can maybe work out a day, but yeah, I usually make sure that I'm smart with who I spar with, because I've been in situations where somebody went hog wild and it wasn't smart. It's just, again, making sure that you're protecting yourself, and then also too, it's just smart training.
Now is the match that you're in, the boxing match, is it going to be sort of a debut versus debut, or does she have experience in boxing?
The individual, I don't know who my opponent would be, to be honest with you.
Oh, you don't know?
But the
yeah. Oh, okay. All
I
right.
do not know. Nope, I do not know. So the individual I would be going against clearly will have more experience from the boxing perspective than me. So because most going into their into a pro fight have already had amateur bouts or experience
okay.
underneath their belt. So she'll have more experience from the perspective of being in the ring, and then I'll just carry my experience that I've had in the cage clearly into the ring, but from a different style and a different perspective.
Mm.
Now, when you're going to be doing the boxing thing, it's like, you know, you're only going to be boxing, but do you have to train yourself to keep reminding yourself that when you're in the boxing arena, that you can't do any takedowns, that you can't do any MMA stuff? You have to keep telling yourself that, or is it something that you know that you're not going to do as you go into it?
I highly doubt that I would do anything in regards to MMA, because I don't when I'm doing straight boxing sparring. However, you know, you have your adrenaline that's going more so when it's actually live, right? So you can't really control adrenaline that's going through at that point. However, mindset, you know when you're going in, it's boxing. So, and like I said, when you do a good portion of sparring from the boxing perspective, if you're not doing takedowns and stuff like that, or if you're getting hit in sparring, my reaction isn't to go for the takedown right away. So my reaction is to get to a better position, change the angle, and then get my distance back. So I don't foresee me struggling with that.
Sorry, going into boxing now. Now you have to get a license to box, correct? Or do they not do that anymore?
You have to for any of the combative sports. Yes.
Okay.
So there's a commission just like MMA, and then you still have to go through the same physical evaluations as you do for MMA. So you still have to do your blood work. So from a fighting perspective, what they do is they check you for Hep B, HIV, Hep B, Hep C, and HIV. So you have to have that done. Some states are every 6 months. Some states are once a year. I know in Minnesota, they had me do an eye exam for the fight that I was supposed to have in September. North Dakota does not require that. So they have a doctor clearly on staff. They do a pre-screen and they do a post-eval. So that doesn't change because of the fact it's still combative, and they make sure that fighters are healthy going in, and then when they come out that they're clearly cleared moving forward.
Now, is to get the license now, do you have to pay a fee for that, or is that hard to get, or is it just, you know, you say you have to do a certain amount of things and a certain amount of training to get the license? And
No. Anybody can apply for the license. So if you are put on a fight card, then you just apply and then you pay that fee. So, again, as long as you're cleared, you have to be asked to be on a fight card before anything, but that's kind of the 411 in regards to that.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, one thing that we do want to do here, because I have not got a confirmation from our next guest that they're going to be calling. She said she was going to. Hopefully you can hang with us for a little bit longer until she does. I know that you've been training and you've been doing this and that, and you've been going all over and you're tired and everything. I understand that, and I do appreciate you hanging with us. But one thing that we do want to have you do for us is cut a promo for us. And, you know, basically it's one of those quick little 10-second liners. You know, you say, hey, this is Mariah Press. You're listening to the Attitude Era Live with the Icon of the Big Swing, and you can say whatever else you want. And then I'll count you down from 5 seconds, and we have to do a couple takes. We'll do that, and then we can use that for the next.
Give me the bullets that you want for me to put on there, Icon.
Your name, listening to Attitude Era Live with the Icon and the Big Swing, and then whatever else.
Attitude. And then how do you guys want me to put your guys' names on there?
The Icon and the Big Swing. Of course, you can say my name first. That'll be easy for me to edit out his name later.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
What was your guys' name previously, though? What was your guys' name previously on there? Was it
Off
Attitude?
Off the Rope.
That's what I was going to say. So repeat the Attitude part one more time for me. It's Attitude what?
Attitude Era Live.
Attitude Air Live?
No, Attitude Era.
Yeah.
Repeat that one more time because you both.
And the reason the reason we changed it, Mariah, was because we found out, we did not know this, but we found out that the that name was actually copyrighted.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. So we couldn't, you know, we didn't want to get into any issues if we used it, you know, with anybody. So we were like, you know what? Let's go in a different direction here, and let's do something new. And we got new music and new everything. So.
Okay.
And we got the same stud host though. That's the main thing.
There you go. All right, so you want me to do a quick promo saying, hey, I'm Mariah Prusha, and I am something in regards to Attitude Era Live, right? And then with the two rock stars, Icon and Big Swing.
Perfect, yeah. Yeah, and then you can – yeah, that sounds good. And then we'll – we'll record it, and we'll use it for the next decade because we are definitely going to have you on again because you are our fans have raved about this. I'm not just saying it. You are our most requested that we've ever had. So.
Oh, boy, huh?
That is true.
All right. So tell me when you're ready for me to rock it out. What's that?
All right, here we go. I'll count you down for five. Ready? Five, four, three, two, one.
Hey, everyone, I'm Mariah MPX Prusha, and I'm kicking it on Attitude Era Live with Icon and Big Swing.
Excellent.
Yeah, why not, man? I'm with it.
We do have a few more questions for you, and then we'll let you go because I know you got a couple. And couple things I was going to ask you. First off, Big Swing, who doesn't know this, in Fargo here, call a preferred coupon book. And what some people may not know this, I don't know if you want me to say this or not, but I'm going to because I can't stop myself. Coupon number 167, for people that do not know, you can. There's a free 3-day pass to MPX Fitness in the coupon book.
Absolutely.
And, yes, and as a matter of fact, I'm going to use the coupon this time. As a matter of fact, I hate to say this. I'm sorry for all the other businesses that are on there, but the only reason why I bought that coupon book was to get this coupon that I'm holding in my hand so I can get a 3-day pass with Mariah.
Icon, it is a fitness place, not a dietary place.
Hey,
well, hey.
I do new consultations. I just got my certification. I passed that with a 95, ready to rock.
Well, I know that that whatever that concoction was that you were drinking when we met you at Maui Madness, I mean, she was over there, like, eating carrots and drinking some weird greenish liquid, so she definitely knows nutrition. What exactly was that you were shoveling down?
Well, I was getting ready for, like, weight cuts, so it was vegetables, and then it was just greens, a lot of greens in there, so.
Oh, that's
nothing
pretty
else.
Much all it was, okay.
And I'm not ashamed to admit this. I'm not ashamed to admit this. I did steal one of your carrots from your thing. You had one left in there. I grabbed the carrot.
That's okay, man. I think I clearly survived.
He thought maybe that if they were your carrots, that he would get like your abilities. He thought maybe they were like magical carrots or something. He told me that.
Okay.
Right. He thought maybe I'll be able to fight like Mariah if I eat one of her carrots.
Right.
So.
And I also do got to let you know, the very first time you met me, I weighed 389 pounds. I weigh 189 pounds now.
189?
You're doing
wow.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Yep. I've lost 200 pounds since you first met me.
That is awesome.
Wow. That's awesome, Icon.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I can now actually fit into the shirt that you gave me. I couldn't before. I can now. Speaking of Maui Madness, hopefully, I know that, you know, your schedule is sporadic and, you know, you don't know, you know, where you're going to, what you're going to be doing in the next few months. But I was asked to extend a invitation to you to be at the next Maui Madness.
Oh, that would be awesome. When is the date for that?
It'll be in March sometime again. Generally on the selection show day, I believe it would be the second weekend in March, I do believe.
Yeah. Sounds good.
That's usually what it is. Yeah.
And you'll be sponsored by the Attitude Era Live. And, you know, because I remember sitting next to you, how many people were more interested in getting your autograph than mine.
Well, Icon, we're going to do it big this time. I have people who's going to print us out one of those big table banners, as well as, you know, last time I will admit I was not fully prepared. I did not know exactly what the situation was going to be like. This time I'm coming with full boom microphone, like you know those holders, those things that like go up and down that hold the mics on them that go in and out like from the radio station. I'm bringing two radio station mics with boom. They're called Necks. Boom Necks on there with two full on actual real radio station microphones that I'm going to be bringing with us that will hook up to the computer operator and go from there. So we will be broadcasting live with two microphones, and you know people like, you know, scenery. Like, for instance, if you're walking down the street and you've got one guy who's just walking and then one guy who's, like, skipping or doing cartwheels, which one are you going to look at? You know, so they if they walk in and we're the only one sitting there with two actual radio microphone setups, they're going to wonder what exactly we are, who exactly we are, and it's a good way to kind of get us out there and get people on. I might even bring three, so if Mariah decides to join us, you know, she doesn't have to use a phone again or something. You know, we can actually have her on a microphone. So I might actually bring three or four, just depending on who's going to be there.
Right. And the other thing, I'll promise that you will not be in a car accident this time either.
Ha, yes. Did he tell you about that, Mariah?
No. He wanted to show me his place afterwards, show me his, you know, his wrestling shrine and show me some of his stuff or whatever. So we jumped in the car and, you know, he lives relatively close to where the hotel that had the event was. And we get into the car, and we're driving along, and we're talking, and yada, yada, and all is good. All of a sudden, we go to turn into his place. I see him put his blinker on. I'm like, oh, cool, that's your, you know. And I remember looking through the window, thinking to myself, okay, hey, that's okay, this is his place, cool, we're getting ready to go. And then, boom, like out of nowhere. It sounded like you dropped a heavy box on hardwood. It was like a dull thud. And all of a sudden we were spinning and the lights were on and the airbags came out and you know, him and Janice unfortunately got more hurt than I did. They both ended up in the hospital. Minor things, you know, he had a chipped tooth and I think she had some cuts and bruises. I only had, from where my glasses pushed in from the G-force, I only had a little cut under my eye. But yeah, and I guess the driver coming the other way as he was turning in didn't have any lights on, and we didn't see them, and boom, just clipped the side of the car, and it was totaled, and the whole shebang. It was bad.
Ugh, lucky.
Not to mention that it was snowing profusely as well, so the roads were not exactly, you know, not exactly ideal for driving. They were kind of slippery as well, so.
Right. Yeah, our weather's kind of unpredictable.
What, like
he said
tonight.
It's bad up there tonight. Yeah.
It's you know, we're going to have worse situations than this for the weather. But, you know, when it rains in the mid-morning and then, you know, it starts snowing and then it's freezing, you know, it's going to be an ice skating rink tomorrow driving. So,
we'll wrap this up here shortly. Because we also want to thank one of our new sponsors also, MPX Fitness, 3955 40th Avenue South, Fargo, North Dakota, 701-293-0002. What are the hours of MPX Fitness? Can you tell us that?
Our hours of operation are, for business perspective, 8:30 to 12:30, Monday through Friday, and then Monday through Thursday, we're open from 4 to 7. However, all members do get a 24-hour access key, so they can use the gym 24/7.
Now, if someone wanted to someone wanted to get a membership, what is the basic membership cost at MPX?
We have two different types of memberships. So we have an amateur package, which is full use of the gym, just not the classes, and that's $30 per month. Now, if they wanted to utilize all of the different classes, then it's $79 a month, and that's the pro package.
Now, is there personal training involved as well?
Personal training is addition, too. So we've got personal training sessions. We also have nutritional consultations. We have Reiki, which is a form of energy work. And then we'll be adding a few other different things into the mix. But starting in January, we're doing a lot of new 8-week sessions with some of the mixed martial arts classes. So for people who are new, then they can sign up for the full 8 weeks, and they'll know that they'll be with the same people and starting at the same start point so that they don't feel uncomfortable. And then, again, it's they know that somebody isn't ahead of them and that they're all starting at the same point.
Now, are those classes on the same day of the week? Is it 5 days a week, 2 days a week, 1 day a week, certain time?
Yep, they'll be looking at 2 days a week for each of those because, you know, if it's only 1 day a week, it's a big gap. Or, you know, you retain it, but you need to make sure that you're ripping it too so that it becomes muscle memory. So if you only do it once a week and then you wait a full 7 days, then it's like you almost have to relearn it again. So consistency is key.
Well, and then hopefully, you know, we can chat about this later, but maybe we can trade some advertising so you can give me some training or something.
There we go.
Awesome. There'd be nothing more than I would love in my life to be knocked out by Mariah Prussia. You know, I mean, that would be the ultimate thing for me.
You have like one of those domination fetish things?
Well, if it'd be a 12-round bout with Mariah Prussia, I'd last a half a round, you know.
You know, you don't hear too many people wanting to get knocked out. We're excited.
Well,
about it.
I guess gotta have a little taste of heaven before he dies, right?
Oh my God.
Well,
anyway.
You know, yes, he is one of the only people I know who would like to be knocked out. But here, have you ever been knocked out before? Because you don't remember getting knocked out. You remember the fight, and you remember waking up, but you don't remember the knockout. You know, the first thing everybody asks when they get knocked out is, did I get knocked out? They don't know. So, I mean.
No. I've gotten clipped. I've gotten clipped by a punch. And then I was transitioning. Well, the thing is, too, it all depends on how you get hit. Again, it comes down to the reffing. When you ask, do I think that they stopped the Conor McGregor-Mayweather fight too early? It's kind of the same thing. It all depends. So, one person's, you know, perspective or vision or sight, right, can be totally different to somebody else. So I had spectators that came up that said, Mariah, he called that too soon. And the reason why I know that clearly I wasn't knocked out is I was getting ready to transition. I was protecting myself and transitioning from the ground to get back up. And then he called it. Well, I stood up right away and I'm like, what in the hell is going on here? You know, looking around like I'm ready to go. And it wasn't like I was grabbing the ref's leg where you see people that are really stunned, right, where they're just like grasping for something. No, I got up and I was totally fine. I knew exactly what was going on and still wondering. But again, like I said, it's neither here nor there. Point being is never get in that situation, you know. So if you get caught, don't let it go down to either the ref making a call or B, leaving it up to the judges. So, you know, get out there, fight, prove a point, finish it, and then call it a good night.
Awesome.
Nice.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, we do appreciate you joining us tonight. And, of course, we'll definitely have you on again later on in 2018. You are always a fan favorite. And, like I say, the most requested interviewer that everybody wants to ask return, and we do appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to join us, and we will let you go for the night, but we do appreciate you joining us.
All right, thanks you guys, I appreciate it. Have a good night.
Thanks, Brian.
You as well.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. We'll see ya.
It's Mariah Prussia, ladies and gentlemen. The one, the only.
Yes,
Mariah Prussia.
She's always a good interview. She's always fun to talk to.
Oh, so I guess I don't know what happened to our guest, but for some reason I've been trying to text them, and it says these individuals are not receiving messages right now, so who knows?
Okay.
But I guess basically what we can do is we can just, you know, we got plenty that we can talk about, and I'll also talk about our guest that we have coming up next week, as a matter of fact.
Yes, why don't you go ahead and tell us who that is?
Yeah, well, we have the terrific Tim Lawlor joining us. Now, he's Jerry Lawler's cousin, and he has been having some health problems. And
That's no fun.
You know, and the thing is, he's been telling everybody all about this interview that he's got coming up with us, and he's also saying how it could be his last interview. You know, we hope it's not, but yeah. That'll be an interesting interview, and I can't wait to have him on.
End up being his last, I mean, I would be, you know, obviously would be honored if that was his, if ours was his last.
You know, like I say, we hope it's not, but I can't wait to chat with him. I mean, he's got many, many stories that he can tell. And I got to let everybody know that Samoa Joe has joined forces with Sheamus and Cesaro against the Shield.
I sort of saw that coming up.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah, because there's three Shield members, and they need three people, you know, to be their opposition. And, you know, I mean, who's, you know, besides Braun Strowman, who's the most physically imposing that they could get? And, you know, it's got to be Samoa Joe.
Well, let's just hope they don't screw up this storyline, you know?
Hmm.
Because right now Samoa Joe is feuding with Roman Reigns, and Braun Strowman is feuding with Bray Wyatt right now.
That is very true. Now, I am excited about? Honestly, what I am excited about is it looks like we're going to get the broken Matt Hardy.
Yeah. He started pitching that last, which
I'm very excited about, which means I got to look it up on my sources, but obviously then that means that they were able to buy the rights from TNA.
Right. And also we have Bull Harley, who's going to be joining us. Now this guy, he is just a big son of a bee, and I cannot wait to talk to him. Of course, he's in another country, but he's going to be on with us, and that is going to be an awesome, awesome spectacle. And also, we have Dexter Reed, who's also going to be joining us next week, and he'll be telling us about his career. As a matter of fact, he actually contacted me, like a lot of people have asked, why I have not contacted them to be on the show. No disrespect meant, but I didn't know that you were wanting to be on the show, so we'll put you on the show, period.
Yeah, we definitely will. I mean, you know, and that just kind of goes to show you what we're doing right now, the movement that we're doing with, you know, the interviews from these independents and former superstars. Just kind of goes to show you what we're doing when people are asking us why we haven't approached them about being on. We don't have to go out and beg people You know, we have a track list now. We have several independent wrestlers who can vouch for us that they've been on and had great interviews and have been, you know, generally pleased with their experience on the show. But we also have names like Buff Bagwell, Bob Backlund, Tito Sammartino, the artist formerly known as Santino Marella. We've had both Savio Vega and Quang. You know, I mean, we've had big names, WWE names, and we've had a lot of independents and things like that as well. So we have a resume. We also have, you know, we've had Roger Maris Jr. You know, we've had baseball managers. We've had, you know, MMA fighters. So, I mean, we have a long track list. We've been interviewing everybody. And like I said, we are making a movement right now where people are coming to us wondering about the show. And that's always a good feeling.
You know, the one thing, though, that I'm really waiting for is when we get the midget wrestlers on with us.
That's going to be awesome. Did he give you a date for that?
No, we're working on finalizing which midgets will be available for us. That is one I cannot wait. You know, and I also had kind of teased a little bit that we were going to have some cast members from the TV show Operation Repo. Unfortunately, that has fell through. That is
okay.
Not going to happen.
Why is that? Did they tell you?
Well, yeah, because they wanted $200 for the interview.
Oh, well, I might be able to do that.
And it has now been confirmed that Dexter Reed has just confirmed that he will join us, and Terrific Tim Lawler has just confirmed that they will join us.
Nice.
And Dexter Reed, he has got a fight this Saturday, and he's going for the title. And, of course, this would go in with our track record because he was booked before he went on this fight. So if he wins the title, we will be, you know what we'll be at that point?
Where?
What our record?
Yeah, what will we be?
43-0.
Really?
Yes. Now, we had a great wrestling coach on here a couple weeks ago from NDSU who was nice enough to join us. And unfortunately, of course, this does not count because they weren't really going for any titles or anything, but unfortunately came out the losing end against the number three team in the nation, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
They only won one match against, and
yeah,
that was Clay Reen.
You can win. Yeah, but if you can win one match against the number three team, that's still pretty good.
Yeah, and it was Clay Reams that won the match.
Nice. Now, another question I have, actually it's not a question, it's something that I noticed over the weekend. It may make you feel a lot better knowing that the South Dakota, I'm not sure if they're the Jackrabbits or what they are exactly, but the University of South Dakota got beat up by Duke in basketball over the weekend.
Right, and USD also lost out in the FCS playoffs as well, the Coyotes.
Now,
but,
let me ask you this. You support your state. You support your state, obviously. You know, you're one of the biggest, if not the biggest, North Dakota fan that I know. What is the rivalry? Because you always talk about how much you hate, you know, you hate the Jackrabbits and you hate, you know, all these other schools. But what about the University of North Dakota, UND? I mean, if you had to, UND made the NCAA tournament and NDSU did not. would you still root for them because they are your home state team? They are a home state team for you?
No.
No.
It's against, it's
so,
against
so the rivalry is that – is that big?
Yes, as a matter of fact, it's funny you mention that because UND in volleyball made it to the big dance, and NDSU did not. But was I going to pull for UND? Absolutely not. Never, ever would I. Not
And may I ask you, being a sports guy internally, and even though I don't know these schools, having this interest me a little bit, may I ask you, why not? I know that they're a home state team. You know, let me put it this way. I'm a big-time Syracuse fan. Okay, big-time. I'm the only member of my family, besides my brother anyway, but the only member of my family not to go to Syracuse. Okay? And but if you Albany – if you Albany or you Buffalo or, you know, Iona or Binghamton or, you know, any of those schools, Stony Brook, you know, Manhattan, if any of them went to the dance, okay, I would – and not Syracuse. Obviously, I would root for them to do good because they're my home state team. So I guess my main question is why – why the big dissension with UND up there?
Well, the thing is, UND up in Grand Forks, there's been a long history of back and forth tension between the two universities. For instance,
okay.
and remind me to come back to Stony Brook after I make this point. UND. When NDSU decided to move up to Division One, NDSU wanted to continue playing UND, okay, in football. UND told NDSU no because of one of the things was the scholarship difference, okay, how many more scholarships we were going to get compared to them. Now, the catch-22 in that is, they were worried about the difference of scholarships, but they would go play Minnesota Crookston, who gets no scholarships.
Okay.
Double standard there? I think so.
Now, what is the bigger school in terms of enrollment?
NDSU.
NDSU, okay. Okay.
Yep. And we've won more national championships in football than they have.
Well, you've won at one point. I mean, hell, at one point you won, what, 5 in a row? 4 in a row?
Yeah,
something
man,
like that?
We've got 13 total.
Yeah. So you guys are you know, dominating in that department. So now I know, again, this is a wrestling show, but sometimes we like to sprinkle in other things. How is it looking right now? Again, I don't really follow the 1AA or now called the FCS as much as I should, being a sports guy. But how's it looking for NDSU's chances this year of being in the picture?
We just took out USD, which is University of San Diego, 38-3. We destroyed. And as a matter of fact, you mentioned Stony Brook.
But was that a playoff? Was that a playoff game or a regular season game?
Yeah, it was a playoff game. NDSU's athletic director was the former athletic director of Stony Brook, Matt Larson. Now the thing is,
I didn't know he was up there. Nice.
Yeah. Unfortunately, nice. Stony Brook lost to James Madison over the weekend, so Stony Brook was eliminated.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Now, the other interesting thing is this weekend, Saturday morning, 11 a.m., live at the Fargo Dome, the Icon will be there on ESPN2. Now, I expect, Chris, you'll be watching that because you'll see the Icon on TV at least once, guaranteed. We play Wolford. Now, in this great run that we've had over the last 7 years, Wolford has been the team that has played us the toughest in the playoffs. The last time we played them was in 2012 when we won 14-7 and all the points were scored in the first half, it was a defensive stand the rest of the game.
Okay.
So NDSU is going to be in for a tough test this weekend. But I have a feeling that we'll come
now,
out.
Now, James Madison, where the hell did they come from? They've been really good. But you know who was really good? You know who was really good also that I really thought had a shot? Because I did follow this school for whatever reason. Don't ask me why. I did follow this school, though, and it was Sam Houston State. And they got handled pretty well by James Madison last year. So is Sam Houston in the picture as well?
As a matter of fact, Sam Houston this weekend plays. As a matter of fact, if you allow me to check my notes here real quick, Sam Houston plays Tennessee State. The Tennessee State Owls, and the winner of that match will play the winner of North Dakota State in Wolford.
Okay, cool.
So, and also, it was also announced today, or not today, it was announced this weekend, that NDSU's Nick DeLuca will be playing in this Senior Bowl, which probably means that he will end up going into the NFL.
Nice.
So.
Nice.
Well, so,
that's
that
awesome.
Is interesting. You know, and you know, this is a wrestling show, but unfortunately, our guests kind of flaked on us for some odd reason.
It happens sometimes.
You know, you still think that your Cowboys have a shot?
I do. I think we have the easiest schedule of, you know, of all the playoff hopeful teams. You know, the easiest remaining schedule. And I think, you know, if we play like we played at Washington, plus we're getting Ezekiel Elliott back, I think we can win out. And then we just got to hope for the chips to fall, you know, in either direction and have to hope that, you know, teams like Carolina or Seattle or Atlanta falter a little bit. And, you know, I think we'll be good. But anyway, enough about that, though. Let me just ask you, if I could, real quick before we get off the air here, because, like I said, there's not really too much to talk about. Raw didn't really give us much to talk about. Do you think that we will see any drastic type of thing like okay, AJ Styles out of nowhere beat Jinder Mahal and took the belt? Do you think if Raw's ratings start to fall, they will have somebody come out of nowhere and take the belt off Lesnar before Mania?
I'm thinking so. It would make sense, but I don't think so. You know, because in
well, my dream has been crushed recently. By the way, my dream of seeing the Universal Champion be James Ellsworth has been crushed.
Yeah, because James Ellsworth has been released from the WWE, unfortunately.
Exactly, crushing my dream.
Yeah. James Ellsworth just really had nothing going, really. But there's still a possibility.
Well,
we might
he was
be able
banging
to get him
Carmella.
Well, yeah. But, of course, she's also engaged to Big Cass. So, you know.
To who?
I don't know if that relationship was actually going on or not.
Wait, he's engaged to who?
Big Cass.
Big Cass?
Big Cass, yeah, you didn't know that?
James Ellsworth and Big Cass are a gay couple.
No, Carmella's.
Oh, okay. Okay. You confused me for a second. I was like, whoa, wait, why is this not headline news? Okay, All right. Wow. Okay. I just totally had a blonde moment there.
Yeah, I was wondering where you were going with that. I mean, it's like...
I was going to say, why haven't I heard about this? I would think that in this society today, that would definitely be something we would have heard. So, okay, all right, never mind. That was my mistake.
And, you know, next weekend, not next weekend, but the weekend after that, Clash of the Champions. Do we even know what any of the matches are? Do we even care?
Sure. Yeah, we do. I care.
What are the matches?
Well, no. I'm saying I care. I don't know what they are, but I care to know what they are. Mostly, the cynical part of me cares what they are so that I can make fun of them. But yes, I care.
And like I say, I have no idea what any of the matches are. I really don't.
I'll tell you right now. What's the show?
Clash of Champions.
Clash of Champions 2017 card. Alright, we'll do this and then we'll get out of here real quick because I got some stuff to do tonight and we don't have a guest. So let me do this. Clash of Champions, has the card been announced? Yes, sir, it has. Right now there's only 4 confirmed matches. There's going to probably be 7 or so on the card, but right now there's only 4 confirmed. Right now we have a singles match for the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship, and that is Charlotte Flair versus Natalya. We have a triple threat tag team match for the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Championship. That's the Usos versus the New Day versus Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin. We have a triple threat for the United States Championship, Baron Corbin versus Bobby Roode versus Dolph Ziggler.
Oh, boy. That's going to be a barn burner.
Yep. And we have a singles match for the WWE Championship, AJ Styles versus Jinder Mahal. Those are the 4 confirmed matches right now. There's probably going to be a few more added to the docket tomorrow night.
All right. And I, why do I have a feeling that Shane McMahon might be stepping in the ring again?
Probably because he probably will be.
Now, let me ask you this. Is that something we want to see again? Do we want to
know?
I love what.
You love what?
Love
sounds like your phone's cutting off.
Well, I just got a confirmation. Well, not a confirmation, but I just got a message from a good friend of ours. You remember Michael Breck, right?
Of course.
He's the guy that trained at James Ellsworth's training.
Yes.
He is going to work on getting us James Ellsworth.
Oh, nice. Okay, cool. I can ask him if he proposed to Big Cass or Big Cass proposed to him.
Right, and I can. I'd have to apologize to saying I want to see if someone punch him in his bitch ass chin.
Oh my God, yo, we're not going to get him on the show if we continue to bust his chops like this.
Well, no, I said I would apologize for saying that.
Oh, apologize for saying that. Okay, I thought you would say that and then apologize. I got you. Okay. All right. I'm all over the place tonight with what I'm hearing and what I'm not hearing. Okay. Well, anyway, it's another Monday in the books. Hopefully we can get in touch with Destiny and hopefully be able to get her on with us at some point. Because we definitely would love to chat with her. I'm going to look up photos of her. I want to see those legs you're talking about and go from there. So, yes, this has been a Monday. And, always fun, always great to hear from Mariah Prussia. Always welcome on our show at any time. She's a great interview. She can talk about many different things, many different avenues of sports and mixed martial arts and wrestling and boxing and all that. And, you know, always a fun time. So, again, thank you, Mariah, and thank you to our sponsors. And thank you for everybody out there who listens to us every single week. And, Icon, I have to call you tomorrow because Bob Footit called me and needs some information. And I want to go over that with you, but I'm going to be driving again here in a minute, and it's foggy out, so I'll call you tomorrow about that. But we will go from there. So, again, it's another Monday in the books. Raw sucked again, but this show was red hot as usual. And we will see you next Monday.